This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Our God is a generous God. He's given us a multitude of gifts to steward for His kingdom. Today, we'll conclude a lesson from Bert Arrowood titled, Grace-Enabled Gospel Stewardship. It comes from Luke chapter 12. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
And the rich man, this is where it crosses the line. He's saying, soul, I'm going to give you life. And the song that we sang said, from my soul is the wellspring of life. From who God is and what God has done, that's where life comes from. Do you remember last week we talked about Jesus on the boat with the disciples? And they were worried about the bread. What am I going to eat? And Jesus says, why are you worrying about that? I'm the bread of life. Like I am here with you. I am the bread of life. And so that question that I have for you is not only what do you like to store? The rich man was storing goods and he was storing grain. Today, we like to store up cash, investments, stuff that we buy, beauty products, fishing poles, cars, boats. But we also like to store up experiences, right? I just want to try. I don't need all that stuff. I have this, the righteous view of spending. I want to travel and have experiences, and I want to store up great meals so I take a picture of my coffee or my latte before I drink it or my meal, and I store up these experiences that are really important for me to store up. And you know why we store those up is because we believe that's what feeds our souls. And what Jesus is saying is this. Look what he says to the rich fool. The rich fool wanted to eat and drink and be merry and relax. And God says to him, what does he say? What's he say here? He says, fool. He says, fool. Tonight, your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's a sobering question. In my line of work, unfortunately, I work with a lot of people who are older, who pass away, and then I see what happens to their estates. And you know what happens to 90% of the stuff you're gonna accumulate throughout your life at the end of your life? Do you wanna know what happens? No matter how nice it is, 90% of it goes to charity or goodwill. Somebody comes in, they clean out the house, and all the things that we've held onto so tightly, most of your heirs are not gonna want those things. They have their own furniture. They have their own clothes. Now, there's going to be certain things that they do want. But here, whose will these things be? That's what happens at the end of our life. But then he says this, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards the things of God. If we are not rich towards God, the Bible says we are fools. But not only is the presence of money that leads to worry and pride, the absence of money. So look at this next passage. Jesus, immediately he turns to his disciples, and we're on page 17 of your booklet under point number 2. Why do we worry? Well, we worry because we forget we have a heavenly Father. We forget that we have a heavenly Father. And those two points under that, point A and B, he will give us the value that we try to get for money, and he will give us the safety that we try to get for money, the value and the safety. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, I tell you, disciples, you poor people, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. And then he tells us to consider two things. So as we go to the next, this might be, the one on the right is kind of your Zen picture. Like if you just need a little bit to look at the beautiful lilies that we're going to talk about. And then he says, also the other side is the raven, the dirty bird. You know, even that dirty bird is cared for. So again, Jesus says, consider these two things. Consider the ravens, that they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. And look at the comparison he makes about us, of how much more value are you than the birds. You see, your heavenly Father is the one that gives you value in life. Being able to make money and feel like a real man or woman because you make money and you have this independence. That's not what gives you value. That's not what gives you purpose. And then he goes on to say, and of which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to your span of life? And if you're not able to do this small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Well, adding more time to my life seems like a big thing. But in God's economy and eternity, that's not a big thing. And then he says, consider the lilies, how they grow and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And if God chooses to clothe the grass, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He will give you the safety that you think money brings. The safety that money brings as Americans has been imparted into us. Save money for your 401k, 15% a year for 30 years, and you will be financially independent. And I'm not saying those things are not important. That's actually what I kind of do for a living for people, is help them with that. Those things are vitally important. But if that's where your soul is being fed from, it is very dangerous. So how do we break the power of worry in our life? Well, first of all, we recognize that we are not God. Look at verse 25. It says, if you're not able to do a small thing like this, why are you anxious about the rest? We are not omnipotent. So on the right-hand side, under letter A, point number one there, we are not omnipotent. We are not all powerful. Also, look down at verse 30. Look down at verse 30. It says this, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Not only are we not omnipotent, we are not omniscient. We do not know everything, but God does. So part of getting your life aligned with God's purpose of stewardship is to recognize you are not God, but you are, point number B, children of God. We are children of God that, number one, need a divine father. So letter I on that, we need a divine father. And secondly, we have the inheritance of a divine father. And then thirdly, we have the love of a divine father. This all points back to Sam's original message on our good God and how gracious he was. And so I don't have the points up on the screen, but again, the need for a divine father, the inheritance of a divine father, and the love of a divine father. Last week, we talked about the inheritance from a divine good father. And do you remember the inheritance when the prodigal came back to God? Do you remember how he gave the prodigal four things? He said, I'm giving you a robe. I'm giving you a ring so that you have purpose in life and you can conduct business for the family now. I'm giving you shoes so that you can go out and serve. And then I'm throwing an amazing party and we're gonna celebrate the work that your father has done by giving you this inheritance. And then do you remember when the elder son didn't go in and the father came out to him? Do you remember what the father said to the elder son when the son was complaining about not having a little party for his friends? The father said, you've always had all of this. This has always been yours and you've never lived like it. Do you live apart from the inheritance that you've been promised? You say, I don't think God's gonna take care of me. I don't think my heavenly father's gonna take care of me. I have to do it myself. And he said, I have this inheritance. And that inheritance is there is because I love you. Verse 32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That directly connects to the elder son and the father's response to him. I give you the kingdom. So we are children of God and we are called to action. Point number C, we are called to action. And that action, look at verse 33. Look at what this action is. He says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Sell your possessions. That's tough, right? It's tough to say, I'm going to liquidate assets to give to kingdom work. We like to give out of income, right? You know, as it comes in, but once it's kind of past like the giving, you know, threshold, okay, I've already given on that. Now it's like mine. Now it's in my bucket down here. And there may be a time in your life where you need to sell assets. So sell your possessions, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't allow your heart to be like that living room that's completely on fire. Don't let your heart be that way. Invest in others, invest in kingdom, and don't be hostage to the circumstances God has put you in. So now we're going to shift gears just a little bit. And now we're going to talk about a couple practical things. And then we're going to close with actually our second point. So we're going to close on page 19 in just a few minutes. But let me hit a few practical things for you. So stay with me. You can turn to page 20 and we'll work through a couple practical ideas of how to look at life stewardship. Okay? But if you leave what we just talked about who our Father is in our life, these are not going to be helpful. Like these, the power to do some of these things comes because you're recognizing what God has called you to do in the kingdom, in big picture. So let me start with this, giving zones. And I'm going to give you some examples of different zones, and then we're going to come back to this chart. But first of all, there's two ways to look at it. Do I have enough income? And do I have enough wealth? You know, one of the things I don't like about Dave Ramsey, and I said I wasn't going to pick on anybody up here, but I'm going to pick on Dave Ramsey a little bit. He's a big boy. I like some of his practical ways to go about it. What I don't like at the end is he talks about just accumulating wealth. The goal is wealth accumulation, and that's not what we're called to do. At some point, we have accumulated plenty, and that allows us to be radical givers. So if you're in zone four, and you have a really good income and you have plenty of assets, you should be a radical giver. You should be radically giving. If you're in zone one, and some examples of who's in the different zones would be this. Like zone one, maybe you have a large family or you're a single wage earner, maybe a college student, maybe you're in a geographic location. COL means cost of living, where the cost of living is really high. Or maybe you're a fixed income retiree. If you're in zone one, you should be saving a little bit. And you should be giving a little bit. You should be adjusting your life. You might not be able to give radically. And by the way, God doesn't call everybody to be able to do that. But God does call all of us to be part of that kingdom giving. So even in zone one, you give a little, save a little. Zone two, does anybody know what a DINK is? Dual income, no kids. So maybe you're a young couple, you have a good income, you don't have a lot of assets, but you have a really good income. A Henry is high earner, not rich yet. And so maybe you're a Henry as a family, or maybe you're a young professional. And again, you have a big income, not a lot of assets. You should be saving a lot and giving a lot. Maybe you're in zone number three, an older professional. Maybe you've benefited from an estate, etc. Maybe you have a large, you know, pension plan, something that's paying. You should not be saving anything in that category. If you have plenty of income coming in, you shouldn't be saving anything, but you should be giving a lot. And then maybe you have substantial net worth, very high income. You should be in that zone number four, radically giving. So examine the zones you're in and make sure that you are being prudent in each of those. And so when it comes to debt, you all know this, be very cautious about debt. Don't have consumer debt. That's all I'm going to say about don't have credit card debt. But if you do, pay it off and then be prudent about home ownership, saving for retirement, saving for education for children. But then as you get to the top of that pyramid, you have to stop saying I'm accumulating just to accumulate. I'm going to be radical in my giving. And so a few more practical steps towards stewardship. Have an emergency fund. You all know this. Be in a position and a budget that allows you to give generously and save a reasonable amount. You have to spend money. Like, I know that's painful for some of you to spend money, but you have to spend money. But you can be wise about that. But live within a budget that allows you to do all those things. And then give. Give. Give of your time. Give of your abilities. Give of yourself. All those are important. But I'm just going to be very blunt. Giving cash out of your pocket or out of your checking account is very different than just coming to chair setup once a month, you know, or serving in church in some ways. Those things are all important, but there is something inside of all of us that giving cash is important. So I'll just show you one quick analysis of this. When you look at giving as a percentage of income, couple interesting facts. In Greenville County, the average household in Greenville County, not the average person, but the average household has an income of about $65,000 a year. The average household that has a college degree, college educated, is about $105,000. So if we're kind of looking at our church, I know there's a lot of college students here, but if you kind of look at our church in that $60,000 to $100,000 range, this just kind of shows you if I'm giving 10, 15, 20%, what those numbers kind of look like. I would just encourage you to take the card that Sam mentioned and take time looking through that and recognizing, where am I in my budget? Is this part of what we're doing as a family? There is nothing wrong with planning out your giving like this. This has to be part of it. If you don't think about it in some of these ways, it's not going to usually work. It's usually gonna be unpurposeful. So page 22 outlines a few of those things together. So in closing, a true life of stewardship, if you have your booklet, please turn back to page 19. And we're gonna close with this. Because what we've laid out is this. Last week we talked about these philosophies that come into our thinking. And Jesus talked about them being leaven, you know, the little bit that sneaks into our way of thinking. And so I wanted us to be thinking about what philosophies we have in life that then influence how we live. And so today we talked about, there are lots of external forces that come into your life that tell you how to live. You have to discipline yourself to take God's view, not the world's view. And you all know that. You all understand what you see and how it impacts you. And then we talked about why, what are the spiritual challenges to living out this life? And the spiritual challenges is, we are worriers. We worry about losing what we have, and we worry about not getting what we think we need. Right? I'm not the only one that worries, right? We all worry. And the presence or absence of money creates worry. So how do we live out this lifestyle? And let me tell you the challenge that I want to leave with you guys for this week is this. I covered the first one of these today. I covered the first one, and that is this. We have to remember we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, so we must trust Him. Would you take one of these a week? One day a week, take another one of these. And there's only six, so you can skip a day. But work through on your own what we just worked through about trusting our Heavenly Father. We looked in Luke chapter 12 to what Jesus said, and that is, if you're really rich, if you think your soul is fulfilled with this, you're off. And if you're really poor and you're worried about what you're gonna eat or what you're gonna wear, think about the fact that I even provide for ravens and lilies, and it's a beautiful thing. So we looked at the first one together, trusting our Heavenly Father. You know what the second one is? The second one is, see that Jesus gave you the ultimate gift of life so we can follow Him. The Bible talks about whoever follows after Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Him. He was a radical giver for us. And when you recognize that gift, you will want to follow who Jesus is. And then the third one is responding. Respond to the Holy Spirit's working in your life. Galatians 5:16 through 26 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life is not something we create. So if you look at all this and you say, I feel really guilty now about what I'm spending money on, let me get that right. Or I feel really guilty about, you know, the fact that saving makes me feel really safe and secure, let me get that right. That's okay. But you may be missing that opportunity to truly respond to what the Holy Spirit would put in your life. And that fruit of the Spirit is a work that the Holy Spirit does. It's not something we can do. We can't just say, okay, be more loving, be more patient, be more kind. It's the fruit of the Spirit that works its way out. And by the way, that's why stewardship is not a one-time decision. You don't go home, sit down with your wife, get your budget right. Bert says to give 10%, but I'm going to give 11% and I'm going to feel really good. And now we've checked that box and we can move on. No, no, no. It's like, tomorrow, am I going to wake up and live a lifestyle of stewardship? Am I going to respond to people the right way? Am I going to grow in the Holy Spirit's working in my life? Stewardship is a way of life. It's not a decision. It's not like filling out a will or doing your taxes, right? It's a process. And so we want to respond to the Holy Spirit. And then a big one, Proverbs 4 talks about this, how we need to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Remember last week, we could put that little wheel up, and that wheel, we often want the results right now. The disciples wanted results. Fix my budget, and then I'll get results. And what Jesus was saying is, I want to take you through a process. And that process starts with your heart, and then it starts with you remembering the work I've done, seeing the work I've done in your life, hearing about the work I've done from other people. Then the results come. So it starts in our heart. Another very, very important piece. This is one you really need to study out. Number five, functioning in a community of grace. We need each other for this. We need each other to be wise stewards together. You need input from other people in this process, but you also need an opportunity to, and God in his providence sometimes chooses these things for you. Some of you are sitting here today because God chose you to be here in this moment at this time. And in that moment, we need each other. We need each other to function within a community of grace. We have a need for each other in our lives. And then the last one is kind of what I've talked about. Live an integrated life on mission for God's glory. So to kind of summarize, how you spend your money matters. And it doesn't just mean you're frugal. Like if you leave and say, I need to be more frugal. No, you know, some of you need to not be frugal and you need to honor people with a really nice gift. And you may need to spend some money on your spouse that you normally don't spend on them. Or maybe you need to take your family on a very nice vacation. But if those things all come with the desire to fill your soul, you're missing it. And some of you want to be very good savers and you recognize I don't save and I need to. But if that saving gives you purpose and power and safety, and if you're constantly worried the way the rich man was, what am I gonna do with this? Oh, let me tear down my barns and build bigger barns and have more and more and more. Because when I have more and more and more, then I can eat, drink, be merry. That's what the Bible talks about. Even in little small areas of our life, we do this every day, right? Let me get my homework done real quick and then I can watch Netflix, you know, eat, drink, be merry, you know, fulfill that desire. Because really what this is all about is it's all about responding to what God has done for me with a giving heart, with a giving heart. I want to give. Yes, cash is super important. Like that. That's the awkward part of standing up here to say that kind of thing, right? Because it's still, you know, in America and in our culture today, money is, that's why we don't talk about what we make with each other, because it's so private and personal. And it's all wrapped up in our identity. But giving up some of that is very important, but that's not the only part of what this is. So I'm going to be a radical giver because of what I have radically been given. So friends, we're going to pray, and then I think Ben's coming up afterwards, and just appreciate so much. Before I pray, I just want to again remind you, there are some really good resources in here. So if some of these things have made an impact, go to the back, open up those questions that are in the back of the booklet and talk to those with your spouse and your family. Ask those questions of each other. What do you think of this question? You know, is it okay to spend money, to not spend money? You know, go through some of those questions. They're very probing. There's some books in there that if you want to read, but also there's quotes from those books that are very helpful that if you don't want to read a whole book, you can at least get the ideas of what's there. And then some of those QR codes that are listed, those are going to give you links to articles to read more about how should a Christian view saving? How do we do budgeting the right way? Just some really practical things. I really want to encourage you to work through some of those. We want this to be very helpful for you. But we also want it to be impactful for your life of stewardship. So again, if you leave today and the only thing you get out of this is, oh, I need to give more money to Palmetto Baptist Church, you're missing what we've been talking about. You're missing a life of stewardship.
Thank you, Bert. Today's speaker, Bert Arrowood, is the College Ministries Director at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Come join us for our morning worship service every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Or you can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billiou. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.